නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස ඒකායනෝ අයම් භික්කවේ මග්ගෝ සත්තානං විසුද්ධියා ශෝක පරිද්දවානං සමතික්කමාය දුක්ඛ දෝමනස්සානං අත්ථගමාය ඥායස්ස අධිගමාය නිබ්බානස්ස සච්චිකිරියාය යදිදං චත්තාරෝ සතිපට්ඨානාති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we are discussing Satipatthana Sutta as the theme of this Sutta series. Now we have discussed till Dhammanupassana. Actually, we went through Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana, Chittanupassana, and in the Dhammanupassana section, now we are dealing with Bodhjhangas. So, Bodhjhanga, the term Bodhjhanga literally means Bodhaya Sangvattatiti. So, in one occasion, when one monk came in front of the Buddha and asked, Bodhjhanga, Bodhjhanga adi bhante bocchanti, kittavatanuko bhante Bodhjhanga adi bocchanti. Awakening factors are mentioned. So, why Bodhjhanga, Bodhjhanga is the term used? So, what is the exact meaning of this? So, then Buddha mentioned, Bodhaya Sangvattantiti ko bhikkhu tasma bodhjhangati vacchanti. Since these factors are leading towards awakening, we can say even enlightenment, since that is why they are called bodhjhanga. So, that means that we have to develop certain positive qualities, positive skills in the mind in order to attain enlightenment or in order to develop awakening. Now, last time we discussed using specially Anapanasati Sutta, how one may develop Bodhjhanga from its beginning. And say, for example, if one keeps one's attention on breath again and again, so at the beginning it may drift. So we can't maintain our attention on the breath because our mind has so many different kind of hindrances. So as a result, it may drift to the past, may go along with various memories, and again it can move towards the future, thinking about various fantasies, daydreaming, and planning, etc. Now, assume that one consistently doing this, bringing back to the breath again and again, and as a result, and one day he is able to accomplish mindfulness, so establish mindfulness on breath. Now there is no wavering, so the mind stays with the breath, in breath, out breath, in breath, out breath. So likewise, consecutively, all the breaths can be mindfully comprehend. Now this is where Buddha mentioned the beginning of the Sati Sambodhyanga, mindfulness awakening factor. So once one doing it for considerable period of time, again you are doing it tomorrow, again doing it next week, in the next month. So likewise one is developing it, and as a result the mindfulness enlightenment factor is developing, and ultimately it will come to its culmination. Now not only that, while doing that, one may inquire onto the breath. Now say for example one is well established on the breath, and as a result he does not simply do kind of a surface glancing, rather he now investigate what is really happening in the breath, how it behaves, what are its characteristics, is it long, is it short, is it sort of warm or cool. So likewise the subtle aspects are being inquired. Now this is where the Dhamma Vichaya Sambodhyanga, the investigation awakening factor, starts to develop. So this searching, this is examining, investigating quality helps to develop Dhamma Vichaya Sambodhyanga. And when one does it again and again, it will ultimately develop and comes to the culmination. Now, in order to do that, fair amount of energy is needed, because none of these phenomena are interested phenomena. They are extremely sort of, we can say, boring phenomena. Quite equanimous phenomena. You can't watch them without any energy. Say, for example, if you are watching a movie, you don't need any energy. So, the movie itself is grabbing your attention. But on the other hand, these all typical meditation objects, the present moment phenomena arising throughout the body and in the mind are not that attractive. In such situation, we need consistent energy being supplied, otherwise you can't maintain this attention. So this is where the energy enlightenment factor or virya sambojjhanga being developed. And again, sometimes mind backs up and it sort of become lethargic, lazy. On even such situation, one has to energize the mind and encourage the mind. So that actually leads to develop the energy enlightenment factor or effort enlightenment factor. Now, when one doing this, so there are situations that everything happens smoothly. One doesn't have to struggle. Rather, everything happens in an order. Say, each and every breath, mind is very well established there and one can examine and even the subtle aspects of the breath being understood. On such situation, the mind become rapturous. I mean, you can be a little happy because now the task is accomplished. So, then and there, you are able to make a success. So, that leads to a kind of a happiness, kind of a contentment. And contentment leads to sort of a happiness. And that is where the Piti Sambojjhanga, rupture, enlightenment factor, or awakening factor going to develop. Now, as one develop such kind of a atmosphere in the mind, so the mind become fairly calm down, tranquil, and the body also calms down and tranquil. Now this is where the Passaddhi enlightenment factor or tranquility awakening factor being developed. Now the mind is really calm, quiet, and everything happens smoothly, and there is no wavering, there is no distractions. Now at the same time, when mind now feels comfortable, the body feels comfortable, body feels calm, quiet, and really light, you feel like floating in the air, something like that. I mean, basically the all required positive qualities are now fairly in favor of you. Now in that situation, the mind is well concentrated. Sukhino chittang samadhiyati. So Buddha mentioned when the body and mind feel comfortable, it is easily mind get concentrated. So the samadhi enlightenment factor being developed. Now assume everything is happening well. Now nothing to do, because everything happens by itself. The mind itself has undertaken the task. It has got its momentum and you have nothing to interfere now. It's a matter of simply witnessing the process. So you take the back seat and simply witness the process. So this is where the equanimity enlightenment factor being developed, upekkha. Because there is nothing to do. It's a matter of witnessing the process. So this is where the equanimity enlightenment factor develops. Now, Buddha mentions this first stage of developing enlightenment factors. So, but there is another level, another stage that we can recognize in many suttas, another level of or another strategy of developing enlightenment factors. Now, that is being explained in the Anapanasati Sutta itself, where Buddha mentioned, so how to develop katam bhavitaja bhikkave satta bojjhanga katam bahuli kata vijja vimuttim paripurenti. So if one, how to develop these awakening factors in order to accomplish vijja and vimutti. Vijja is the knowledge, vimutti is the freedom. Now this is in a way fairly kind of advanced practice. It is not the typical beginner's practice, but rather someone who has a fair amount of understanding about the vipassana. And now he has to get on to a different approach. That is what Buddha now trying to explain us. Where how to develop these awakening factors so that it will lead towards the freedom and the knowledge. So there Buddha mentioned, Hidda bhikkave bhikkhu sati sambojjhangam bhaveti viveka nisitang viraga nisitang nirodha nisitang hossagga parinami. Dhamma vichaya sambojjhangam bhaveti viveka nisitang viraga nisitang nirodha nisitang hossagga parinami. So likewise, he explained all the seven enlightenment factors. So what does this, but this means, now all the enlightenment factors have to be developed vivekanisitang. So kind of appreciating seclusion. So the mind now does not associate typical objects like sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations, and mental objects. So rather it has found its seclusion. It has found its own island. It has found its freedom. Now more and more, now mind associates that freedom. Mind associates that seclusion. It likes to be alone. So that aloneness, that freedom, that seclusion is what now the mind associates. Vivekanisitam, viraganisitam. So all other phenomena, as I mentioned, sights, sounds, etc., are now looked at in a dispassionate manner. There is no kind of a grasping. There is no sort of an attraction. Rather, where whatever happens, so mind undertakes them with dispassion. And again, even to this state, this very secluded state, so this sort of freedom, also look at in a dispassionate manner. It is not that yogi is attracted or being bounded into this, even to this seclusion. He takes it in a lighter manner. So his mind has no sort of a strong grasping onto this atmosphere or to this freedom or this what to say as the seclusion, because that is also being fairly balanced by the viraga. The term viraga means dispassion. So you can't have passion to any side, not from the external objects, sight, sounds, smells, tastes, etc., and not even to this very freedom. So it's a kind of a very kind of subtle, balanced approach where mind has to be maintained. And nirodha nisita. So if any kind of phenomena happens, so one is interested of looking at its nirodha, the cessation. And typically mind rests in the nirodha. So there is no new phenomena being sort of paid attention. Rather, one maintains one's attention on the nirodha or the cessation. Vasagga parinami. And the attitude in the mind is the letting go. Rather than grasping, that is the typical approach in the mind. Now the mind is completely in a different approach, that is the attitude of letting go. So this is how Buddha mentioned that one has to further develop enlightenment factors so that one may lead to the knowledge and the freedom, vijja and vimutti. Now, further Buddha mentioned in Aggi Sutta, that is in the Bojjhanga Samyutta, where we have to properly balance these enlightenment factors. Now, we can recognize there are three groups. One group pertaining to sort of an excitement of the mind or the activation of the mind. Another group leading to the tranquilizing of the mind. And there's another one actually doing the whole observation, the monitoring aspect. Now, the group which is making the mind active, exciting, is the one Dhamma Vichaya Virya Piti. That is investigation awakening factor, then effort awakening factor, and the rupture awakening factor. So Buddha mentioned, so when mind feels lethargic, if the mind is little going towards the laziness, then you have to arouse energy. You have to start to further investigate. You have to sort of arouse rupture. So that is how those three enlightenment factors have to be given prominence. On the other hand, if mind is already too much excited, it's now mind has too much excited, now agitated, now more distractions are happening. On that situation, these three should not be developed. Instead, the other three. Other three, passaddhi, samadhi, upekkha. Passaddhi is the tranquility, samadhi is the concentration, upekkha is the equanimity. So those three have to be developed and those three have to be given prominence because the mind has too much excited. So it has distracted or become restless. On that situation, that activating enlightenment factors should not be developed. Instead, the tranquilizing enlightenment factors have to be developed. And on the other hand, Buddha mentioned Satiko aham bhikkhave sabbattikam vada. Mindfulness awakening factor, I say, is required everywhere, every time. So you can see the mindfulness is the one doing the balancing part, is the one, it is the one doing the monitoring part, and it will give us kind of an indication. So which side is too much, which side is less. Accordingly, we have to do the balancing. So the mindfulness is the one doing this whole supervision and the whole monitoring part. So therefore, Buddha mentions there is no limit in developing mindfulness. You can continuously develop mindfulness. And also, that also has to be in the Vivekanisitang, Viraganisitang, Nirodhanisitang, Ossagaparinamin. That means you have to maintain a well-balanced mind and dispassionate attitude. And sort of at bends towards the dispassion, bends towards the seclusion and establishing cessation and the with the attitude of letting go. Now, on such atmosphere, you have to maintain mindfulness. Now, when one develops like this, now the enlightenment factors are also evolving. It is not that enlightenment factors remain at a particular level, but rather they also constantly evolve. Say, for example, at the beginning, when we started explaining Anapanasati, using Anapanasati Sutta, how these various awakening factors are being developed. So we mentioned that the mind is well established in, say, breath. That is where the concentration, that is where the attention is well established. Now, when it comes to the second level, where one develops further, so at that time, it is not that one is grasping any object. Rather, mind now tends to maintain a very lighter atmosphere, free atmosphere, calm, tranquil, peaceful atmosphere. On that situation, it is not concentrated. Mind is not concentrated or absorbed to anything. Rather, mind has kind of an expansive stillness. So that is where the concept, we can say the Samadhi Sambojjhanga. So Samadhi Sambojjhanga has completely sort of evolved not to kind of concentrating onto a particular object. Rather, now it has kind of an expanded stillness. Mind is not distracting, but there is no grasping either. There is nothing to grasp, nothing to hold, but complete stillness there is in the mind. Kind of an expansive stillness. So you can see the enlightenment factors themselves are evolving, and that is how Buddha is taking us more towards the, we can say, the realization. Now, it is not that only Anapanasati or Satipatthana themselves are the only method of developing enlightenment factors. Now, if you consider Bodhyanga Samyutta, that is where various suttas talking with, dealing with the development of the enlightenment factors are being sort of collected. So, there Buddha mentioned even various other techniques like Brahma Vihara, Metta, Mudita, Karuna, Upekha, loving kindness, Karuna, the compassion, Mudita, the what you call as joy, and then Upekha, the equanimity. So those Brahma Viharas are also contributing towards the development of enlightenment factors. And again, if one can do any other even Vipassana, say one develops various proper perceptions like anicca sanya, anatta sanya, adinama sanya. So likewise, there are many positive, correct perceptions if one develops. So those are also contributing towards the development of enlightenment factors. And if one develops navasivatika, actually that is included in the satipatthana. And satipatthana comprehensively helps to develop enlightenment factors. So likewise, there are many other methods also available to develop these awakening factors. So therefore, Buddha mentioned, say for example, in Abhe Sutra, in Bodhyanga Samyutta, so if one develops seven awakening factors, so that is actually leading to know the things as they truly are. So how one has to develop? That is by associating seclusion, associating viraga, the dispassion, associating cessation, and maintaining an atmosphere of letting go. So if one develops with that atmosphere, with that say, with that kind of a perspective, then one can get a better understanding of everything. So one get the yathabhuta jnana dasana. So he may understand the things as they truly are, because the mind is fairly calm, tranquil, unbiased, and good clarity of mind is available, and whatever happens is quite vigilant because you are utterly mindful. So likewise, the background for the development of wisdom is very well there. So Buddha mentioned, so one is able to gain fair understanding of the reality. So that further develop leads to jnana dasana, though that is the vision and the knowledge. Now likewise, we can see, so these enlightenment factors or the awakening factors are basically leading towards more and more understanding, more and more tranquility, more and more calming down, more and more peace, more and more non-grasping, more and more stillness and expansion in the mind. Now, this is a kind of a different approach when compared with various other, say, concentration practices. Say, for example, in Samatha practice or various other religious practices, say, other religions. So they are the mind being concentrated, mind being absorbed, mind being narrowed down, limited to something. But in the Buddha's approach, at the beginning, it may have to be sort of concentrated. It may have to be also attentive onto a particular subject. But that is not the situation when it comes to the second level or the latter levels. There, the mind releases everything. There, the mind recognizes its own freedom, its own seclusion, and mind becomes sort of expansive. And now that since there is no grasping, it is still. Since there is no grasping, since there are no distractions, mind becomes still. So this is the kind of a difference we can say in the Buddhist practice as well, and with compared with the other sort of contemplative practices. Now, there are not only that, even the development of the enlightenment factors seems have helped even the Buddha and the great Arahants even to overcome their certain bodily illnesses. Now, in one occasion, Venerable Mahamoggallana was staying at Gijjakuta mountain in that caves, and there he became extremely ill. Now, at that time, Buddha approached him and asked, "How are you doing? Are you getting well? Is your sort of ailment, disease calming down, or is it becoming worse?" There, Venerable Moggallana answers, "Bhante, I can't bear. Now this sickness is increasing. It is extremely difficult. There are severe pains are happening." So likewise, he explained how painful he is living at the moment because of this bodily illness. At that situation, Buddha recalls about the development of enlightenment factors. Now, this is where a beautiful example that even the Arahants has gone through bodily illnesses. Actually, the development of the enlightenment factors have given fair strength to the mind. So the mind, or what you call that, a psychophysical type of illnesses may be reduced, because there are what we call as psychosomatic diseases may be really reduced, because now you have a fairly healthy mind. Because majority of the bodily diseases have a severe impact coming from the mind. So now the development of enlightenment factors themselves have contributing towards sort of a healthy mind, and that leads to a healthy body. But still, there may be situations body may going through various diseases, maybe due to say bad food, kind of food poisoning type of thing, and due to climatic changes, and maybe even the because of the past karma or someone else have made kind of intentional harm. So likewise, there may be various other reasons for the body to get sick. Now, Venerable Mahamoggallana also somehow became sick, and at that time, Buddha approached him and asked what's his situation. And once he mentioned that he become serious, the ailment is not reducing, rather recovering, or but rather it is now increasing. So there, Buddha recollects these seven enlightenment factors, how these being developed, and how it may be leading to the understanding, the awakening, enlightenment. Now, as Buddha recalls all this, so Venerable Mahamoggallana sort of seems regaining his mental power, regaining his sort of mental energy, and complete composed, contented, balanced, lighter atmosphere, expansive atmosphere in the mind. So now he is able to recover from the illness. Similar thing happened to Venerable Mahakassapa also. He was residing at another place, and there he was severely ill. And that there also Buddha approached and similarly recited these seven enlightenment factors. After the recitation, Venerable Mahakassapa also recovered from his illness. At another occasion, Buddha himself was sick, and Venerable Mahachunda was attending him, and Buddha request Venerable Mahachunda to recite seven enlightenment factors. Now, after hearing the seven enlightenment factors, so Buddha also regained the health, bodily health, and he completely recovered from the illness. Now we can see several points from here. One thing is that Buddha, the Arahants, are also human beings, and they also subjected to various bodily illnesses. But on the other hand, the mental power they have even helped to overcome these illnesses and to sort of recover from these illnesses. Because you can see, I mean, irrespective of they being Arahant, still there's a significant impact of bodily health towards the mind. So their mind, though it is completely liberated, still may couldn't sort of have the energy when it was completely sick to completely recover from the sickness. But the recollection of these enlightenment factors seems to given them so more kind of an energetic, rapturous, balanced, tranquil atmosphere strengthened in the mind, and that again has helped them to regain the health. Now, on the other hand, understanding the state of the mind, so which side is now good, or whether the mind is excited, become restless, become agitated, or the mind is too much drowsy, lethargic. So likewise, we have to observe the mind, monitor the mind, and as a result, one so that actually that observation happens through mindfulness. And now mindfulness, after being aware through mindfulness, what is the state of the mind? So we have to, as I mentioned, to develop either this activating enlightenment factors or the tranquilizing enlightenment factors. Now there we can understand those are to be balanced. And when it comes to the development of the Bodhyanga, so the recognizing Bodhyanga, the awakening factor is one thing. So there are seven awakening factors: mindfulness awakening factor, investigation awakening factor, effort awakening factor, rupture awakening factor, tranquility awakening factor, concentration or stillness awakening factor, and the equanimity awakening factor. So once we are observing the mind, we should be able to recognize the quality of the mind. So this quality indicates kind of a group work of all these enlightenment factors. So, because of the Buddha, we can say that we get to know all these very subtle aspects of the mind. But if we are able to, with the knowledge given by the Buddha, if we are able to observe the mind, so we may be able to recognize to some extent what is the quality of the mind, what is the state of the mind, what enlightenment factors are present, what are the ones now excessive, or what are the ones not developed. So likewise, one has to do this monitoring part, reflecting part. Now, assume that some is not present, or something is weak, or sometimes excited, sometimes drowsy. So the respective group enlightenment factors are to be developed. Assume that nothing is, so if something is available and you feel is not adequate, now that has to be further developed. If something is not present, that has to be also aroused and developed. We have to find reasons, we have to find different methods to make them available. Say, for example, you found you at one time you are not mindful, you are unmindful at that moment. So assume that you understood, okay, but today mindfulness is fairly weak, my mind is scattered, and again it's going to too much distractions. So now you have to strengthen the mindfulness, you have to strengthen the calming down, because the mind has become restless. Now mind has to be tranquilized, so it has to be further concentrated. So likewise, so we have to in kind of a guard of the mind. Always we have to be in guard, on guard of the mind, and so that once we are able to recognize the state of the mind properly, we can take the corrective measure. Now, there are certain other suttas. So if I refer, say this Abhay Sutta in Bodhjanga Samyutta, so Buddha mentioned that these hindrances and the Bodhjangas are fairly opposite to each other, where if one doesn't know how to free oneself from the hindrances, so that actually leads to Ajnanam Adassanam. So that means the complete ignorance and the complete sort of blinding. So one's mind is completely blinded and completely ignorant. So that is where we simply allow the hindrance to govern our mind, and we are not taking care of the mind, and we are not knowing how to keep away these hindrances. So that is where Buddha mentioned is the cause that will lead to ignorance. But on the other hand, if one knows about the enlightenment factors, there Buddha mentioned that is the cause, that is the knowledge which is leading to the awakening, leading to the knowledge, leading to the vision, jnana dasana. So leading to the vision and the knowledge, that is where you know about the enlightenment factors. So the enlightenment factors and the hindrances, therefore, are quite opposite to each other. Now, on the other hand, assume that you get to know that mind is somewhat become lustful. So at that time, say you are anyway developing mindfulness, at what given moment, due because of the say unmindfulness, or because of the non-guarding of the mind, you are a little careless about the situation, so mind has become somewhat lustful. At that moment, assume that you get to know that. So at that very moment, okay, you have to come out of it, not to become a victim of it, have to come out of it, and now have to establish mindfulness. So that is where you are no more a victim of the hindrance. Previously, you are driven by the hindrance, but at the very moment you are able to establish mindfulness, now you are no more a victim of the hindrance. Rather, you regain the mindfulness. Now you have established the mindfulness. Now even the hindrance can be used to further enhance your vigilance, further enhance your investigation. So that is the beauty where Buddha explains in the Dhammanupassana. So once you are able to establish mindfulness, so even these hindrances can be used to develop enlightenment factors. because you are able to recognize lust as lust, greed as greed, or hatred as hatred, restlessness as restlessness, regret as regret, doubt as doubt. So you are clearly recognizing, and you know how they are arising, and you know how they are present, you know how they are fading away. Now, these are very subtle aspects of the mind, say we can say very subtle defilements. So if you are able to clearly recognize them, so that shows, so the investigation is there, Dhamma Vichaya is there, and you are not discouraged or being afraid of these hindrances. Rather, you know that you are confident that you can overcome them. So the effort is there, the virya is there. And assume that now it is fading away and you are quite confident, now they have faded away. So you become again calmed out, again peaceful. How the tranquility environment factor arise. Now, once these hindrances are passed away or they are fairly ceased, so again mind is still, there is nothing to agitate. It is not restless. Now again it has regained its stillness. Now nothing to do. No action to be taken because you have regained the stillness. Again the mind is calmed down. Again the necessary balance, equipoise is there. Now you simply have to be equanimous. Upekkha Sambojjhanga has to be developed. So likewise you can see, you can revisit all these areas. Now you can use Kayanupassana, the mindfulness on the body, to develop enlightenment factors. You can use Vedananupassana to develop enlightenment factors. You can use Chittanupassana to develop these awakening factors. And you can use various other Dhammanupassana techniques even to develop enlightenment factors. Say for example, you are recognizing various aggregates. So assume that you are going through some experience, and there you, rather than being driven by this experience, you are able to come out of the experience and look at the experience. So you are able to now establish mindfulness. And there you recognize, okay, these are the bodily parts. These are the physical aspects of this experience. This is how physical aspects are, or physical phenomena are contributing towards the experience. So you are investigating. And these are the feelings of this experience. Assume it's a pleasurable feeling. So you are able to properly recognize it. So you are investigating. And okay, this is the perceptions that sort of available in this experience. And these are the fabrications, these are the constructs that I have done in this experience. So I am using the normal terminology, I, etc., just to easy communication. So these are the sort of constructs, or these are the fabrications that I have done into this experience in order to come to this level of experience. And these are the contributions coming from various faculties, by seeing, by hearing, by tasting, by knowing, cognizing, all these things. So this is the consciousness aggregate. So likewise, assume that you are able to properly recognize the aggregates available in a particular experience. So this is where actually we are investigating. This is where the mindfulness is available. And we are having a fair amount of energy. And once you are able to recognize all these components, their contributions, now the whole experience become sort of disentangled. You are no more a victim of any of these aggregates. You are no more driven by the experience. Rather, the whole experience become disentangled, unentangled. Now the mind again calms down. Again, the agitation has gone. Again, mind becomes still. Again, mind is calm. Again, tranquil. Now you can see the enlightenment factors are working. And once it is back to normal, nothing to do. Equanimity. So likewise, the whole vipassana, we can say, is contributing to the development of enlightenment factors. So I think, so that is what I have to mention about these enlightenment factors. So in this Satipatthana Sutta, Buddha mentioned, so one is developing these enlightenment factors. If they are not, once they are available, once they are present, this yogi is know that they are present. once they are not present, he know they are not present, and he now know what are the strategies to develop them, to arouse them. And once they are available in the mind, he know what are the strategies to further develop them. So likewise, he is developing enlightenment factors, and he can inferentially know that what are the present, how they are present in another person's mind as well, because he very well know how his mind is appearing and his body is behaving when certain enlightenment factors are present. Similarly, he can inferentially can understand, okay, this person is now agitated, this person is now calmed down, this person is operating with some wisdom, this person has gone through some, say, lethargy, laziness. So likewise, you can feel another person's mental state since you have a fair understanding about your own experience, for you, about your own mind. Now, and one can understand the fluctuations of the enlightenment factors. At one time, certain enlightenment factors are present. At another time, they are not present. At one time, they are said of strong. At another time, they are weak. So one can understand these fluctuations of the enlightenment factors. So they are also not permanent. They are also going through various fluctuations. Now, therefore, one uses these enlightenment factors themselves to further strengthen one's mindfulness, wisdom, and one maintains one's mind sort of free, unassociated, not grasping with anything. Now, there you can understand the three stages. So, we recognize enlightenment factors, where the mindfulness is established, that is the satipatthana, establishment of the mindfulness. And one understands the levels, the states, intensities of the enlightenment factors. So that is the satipatthana bhavana. So one understands the fluctuations, what are the strategies to do, etc. So that is satipatthana bhavana. And one has to maintain this path. One has to walk in this path. It is not a single day, it is not a 1 week. Rather, it becomes kind of a life's skill. It's a kind of a lifetime endeavor that one has to undertake. So there one understand, okay, I need fair amount of morality. One has to maintain the morality in the mind, in the body, in the speech. And one has to maintain kind of a clarity of the mind. And again, one has to develop further wisdom. Sila Samadhi Panya has to be developed. So that is where the Satipatthana Bhavana Gaminicha Patipada, the path is available. So likewise, even in this section, we can look at in the context of establishing mindfulness, development of mindfulness, and a path leading to the development of mindfulness. So that's your Satipatthana. So likewise, so these enlightenment factors are the fourth part of this Dhammanupassana. With that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I open the session for questions.